Golf Smarter number 193 for August 25, 2009.
Smarterpodcasts.com, delivering sound advice.
Irons and Wedges by Callaway Golf with Jason Finley.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome and thanks for downloading the Golf Smarter podcast. Over the last few months, you've heard me talk about our inaugural Golf Smarter adventure to Prague. Well, I'm leaving in a few days for Europe, and my wife and I will be in the Czech Republic to tour on our own for a few days before other Golf Smarter listeners show up. We're really excited about this trip, and it includes touring, golf, and of course, Czech beer. How can you go to Czech Republic and not drink beer, right? Now, we've had a dozen people sign up to join us for this journey, so for an inaugural event, it was a complete success. Unfortunately, one couple from South Africa had to cancel, and we also had an American serviceman who was stationed in Germany joining us, but just a few days ago, he got transferred to Hawaii. So, Stephen, be prepared, because now that you live in Hawaii, you may be host to a future Golf Smarter adventure. Our guest today is Jason Finley, product manager of Irons and Wedges for Callaway Golf. It's not often that we get an inside peek to a major manufacturer, so this is a real treat. Welcome to the Golf Smarter podcast, Jason.
Hey, well, Fred, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for joining us. It's really nice to have a major manufacturer. We talk to a lot of small manufacturers and a lot of the little guys out there, but it's really nice to have somebody who represents one of the major companies to join us on the show. I appreciate your time.
No problem. It's my pleasure, and it's good to be out there talking to golfers all around the world.
Well, and they appreciate it, too. And speaking of golfers all around the world, there's been a new ruling that has come out from the USGA about wedges. And since your focus is really irons and wedges, I'd like to get your impression of what this means to, as well as the tour, but what it means to golfers in general, how it's going to affect them.
So for golfers in general, the real ruling from the USGA is focused around the year 2024, at which point everyday golfers, those not playing in tour events or how they have described it as the elite amateur competitions, that is the point in which they will need to play the new conforming grooves. However, they have also put some rules around manufacturers and what we are able to produce and when, such that new products that we have going forward that we introduce past next year will have grooves up to the new standards.
Okay. And does this affect the play? So people who start buying clubs, and I'm sure that people are going to be buying wedges over the next 15 years. I mean, that's what I find so amusing about this, is that in 15 years you have to conform. Okay. But how is it going to affect their play? For a middle handicap player,
With a wedge, it's very dependent on the golf ball you're playing. Is a big part of it, and obviously some of the things that we're working on, we hope to have it not have a great impact on our everyday golfers. But certainly there is going to be some conditions where, because of the rule, you will not spin it as much, on shorter shots around the green. But in general, we're hoping, and as we do with all of our products, to get as much back as we can and provide golfers with a solution to help them play better.
But you're saying it has a lot to do with the ball as well.
It does. So the type of ball that you're playing with is going to have some impact on the groove. So a softer ball, which in general will spin more because of the way it slides up the face and things like that. Different golf balls will perform differently.
But you have to know how to hit the ball properly to get that kind of spin. I mean, I think that's what happens with the middle and high handicap players, is they just don't know how to properly strike the ball, come down on it, hit ball first, then ground, to get that kind of spin and to really control the amount of spin that they get.
Would you agree? And they're not as consistent in general as some, tour players are.
Right.
That's why, everybody, I've heard thousands of golfers say, well, I want to spin it back like Phil does, or like any, you know, anybody they see every weekend on tour. But they're not swinging as consistently as those players are.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not playing under the same conditions in terms of green speed and things like that. That's one thing that often gets overlooked, is if a green is faster, the ball will spin around the green more back and things like that as well.
Yeah, so play your game. Don't try to be who you're not.
Exactly. You know, try and get yourself better within the ability that you have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even out on tour, there are guys that spin it a lot more than others, and part of that is due to the golf ball that they play and the equipment that they play.
Interesting. And so there is, I would have to say that Callaway is really recognized for innovation. And a lot of things that come out of Callaway seem to be just a step ahead of what's going on in the industry. Congratulations for that.
Thank you. That's what we strive for every day.
Yeah, I bet. But you have guidelines that you have to follow. The USGA doesn't allow you to do whatever you want. How are you able to continue to innovate when you have to follow such strict guidelines?
Well, it's certainly not easy, and that's why we have a, you know, pretty strong team of R&D, and it's, you know, we clearly spend more than anybody in the industry on R&D so that we can continue to do that. I mean, you've seen advancement in driver performance since the COR rule was changed, as an example, and it may not be that your peak ball speed is any different on the center of the face, but the way we're working on drivers today is more around what we call our complete inertial design, where we try and design drivers to where on a bigger piece of the face, golfers can hit it further and more consistently, have more spin robustness, you know, so that they get equal performance on more shots.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And so what is happening these days in innovation? What are you guys up to? Share some best practices, please.
Well, certainly, you know, we strive to have products that are, you know, out of the box thinking, I guess is a trendy term we can use for that. But certainly, you know, we haven't been afraid to come out with some things that may have been a little different. For example, you know, the FTI driver, which, you know, certainly people were a little taken back by the square. And, you know, once we got people to try it, they certainly loved it. And a lot of people hit that driver very good. You know, someone like Ernie Els playing it all the way down to, you know, everyday golfers.
Sorry for interrupting, but I'll tell
no
you,
problem.
I was on a trip back east to visit family and got a chance to play with a listener who, I told him I'm not bringing my clubs, we were just going to play at a nine-hole course. And he said, I have clubs I'm going to bring to you. And he brought me, it was his dad's clubs, in the bag was the FTI square head driver that I had never hit before. And I was blown away. I hit the ball farther and straighter than anything else I hit. It felt so comfortable from the first swing. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. And you know, it goes back to what we want to be. You know, we want to be, you know, ahead of everybody else from a technology perspective and really give people an advantage over, you know, buddies that they're playing with, or, you know, to help them get better. That's what we strive for every day.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
To make the game, you know, more enjoyable from all the way from Phil Mickelson down to the person that's just picking up the game, make it more fun and enjoyable and make them play. I mean, that's one of the big problems with this game, is it's hard.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, we want to help make it easier, make them enjoy it more, make them play more. It's better for the entire industry.
And how are you able to do that on an annual basis? There's new product coming out, but the guidelines have not changed. How are you able to continue to come out with new product that allows you to be innovative when there's not a whole lot of room for it?
Yeah, you know, there is some strict guidelines, but there also is, you know, there's still a lot of room that we have, and we have a lot of really smart people. I mean, we have people that designed airplanes and airplane wings working on golf balls, and, you know, people from the aerospace industry that are working with us. And a lot of it is technology and how golf clubs are made in general as well. So working with our suppliers to find new ways to make, you know, thinner walls on drivers or irons, or have variable faces in irons or drivers. And all of those types of things have gone a long way, where we haven't been able to make the huge gains that you saw maybe back when we came into our original Big Bertha driver, or the original Metalwood, or, you know, some of the original cast game improvement irons. But we've made it a lot more enjoyable for a lot of people because of the fact that we keep striving to make products every day. And we won't come with a product just for the sake of coming with it either.
But are there times where all of a sudden, you know, last year's driver, you got to put something on retailer shelves that says it's bigger and better and more wonderful than last year, and yet the only thing that's changed is maybe the color of the head or an extra letter in the name? Has that happened? It sure seems like it.
Not so much in our what we'll call our inline, you know, premier offerings. No, I mean, we again, every day say that doesn't meet the standards of what we're looking for, and we'll keep working on it. And it affects launch dates sometimes, where we'll have to push products back and do it. And certainly the market demands new products drive this category. There's no doubt about that, that's what generates interest. But at the same time, golfers can figure that stuff out. So, you know, when we come out with a big new product, it has to be different and better.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got
to be. It goes back to kind of our heritage, where Mr. Callaway, the one thing he always stood for was demonstrably superior and pleasingly different products. And that was and is a metric that we live by every day.
And it's difficult these days because of the economy and sales. It seems like golf courses are doing okay, but golf club sales are having a difficult time, aren't they?
Yeah, golf, you know, club sales are down, certainly. Interestingly enough, rounds played are flat to slightly up this year so far.
Yeah, I've been noticing that as well.
So people are playing golf. You know, the real key is that it's a game. You know, it's a way for people to get away from the economy and get away from all the other stuff that's going on in their lives. And it's the one thing that they're not willing to sacrifice doing is playing. Certainly people are holding back a little bit more in what they're buying. Or they're buying something that's more of a value than they would have in the past. And certainly the market's changed a little bit in terms of value-oriented products. But, it, you know, it'll turn around. And usually the golf is one of the things that turns around quicker we've seen from the past. Because, again, people, it's something they enjoy doing. And certainly nobody needs to buy golf clubs. So it hasn't been the most fun year. But people in general, it's something that they're very passionate about and don't want to give up.
Right. And they can, it's sometimes you can realize I can play with my clubs that I've had for 3-4 years and still play like I've been playing and still go out and enjoy the game. As you said, go out and play the game. You don't need to change every time, but boy, it is, they put sexy stuff on the marketplace and you really do want to go check it out.
Yeah. I mean, I get asked all the time from friends and family members and just general people I talk to, you know, is this one really that much better than the last one? And yeah, it is. I mean, but it's just like a car, right? I mean, if I drive a car that's 4 years old, if I bought the newer version, it's better. But it doesn't mean that I'm going to go out and buy a new car every year.
You'll have new features.
And you see that with purchasing life cycles of products as well. I mean, you know, not everybody's buying a new driver every year or a new set of irons every 2 years. But a lot of people do, you know, so and those are people certainly that we love to have buying our products.
Yeah.
But we also understand that there's people that don't do that every year. And that's part of the reason why we, you know, we and certainly others as well have, you know, various product lines for various people. You know, we want to make sure that we have a product for all different types of golfers.
Yeah. Yeah. Like let's go back to clubs for a second and your specialty, you know, the irons and wedges, taking advantage of the hybrid marketplace and your FTI line. I see that there's now the FT hybrid.
Yep.
Explain to me what that is.
So that's our that's kind of the creme de la creme of our iron line in terms of technology. So. Going back into, you know, different types of golfers and having an iron for each one of them, that is by far and away our most forgiving iron that we make. Also happens to be our largest. And in the longer irons, the 3, 4, and 5, we have what we call hybrids. And the name really came from a combination of irons and hybrids. So
sure.
The lengths of the clubs are kind of in between what your typical iron and what the hybrid would be of that. And really that was done to give a nice progression through the set. A lot of the downside to people that have gone and replaced irons with hybrids is they end up with huge gaps. So really designing a set from scratch that allows for a seamless progression throughout the set so that people don't end up with these huge gaps, particularly in their longer irons where, you know, general golfers or golfers of lesser ability start to get really bunched up and narrow in terms of the gap that they see between a 3 and a 4 iron or a 4 and a 5 as an example.
Do you see these type of clubs, these hybrids, being beginner sets or for people who've been playing for a long time and their swing speed is slowing down, their walking speed is slowing down?
It's really both in my mind. I mean, you see golfer, I mean, even on the tour, if you look at the number of 2 irons that are in play today versus, 5, 10 years ago, it's staggering. You know, there's hardly any players on tour playing with a 2 iron. You know, even Tiger, most of the time doesn't carry a 2 iron anymore. Phil never does. Phil doesn't carry, a 3 iron all the time even. So, it's become more and more prevalent. I mean, there's some players on tour that have 2, 3, 4 hybrids.
Yeah, I've been noticing more and more hybrids coming out of the bags. Now, if you're taking a 3 iron out of your bag and you're replacing it with a hybrid, are you swinging that hybrid more like you would swing the 3 iron or more you'd swing your 5 wood?
It's probably more like an iron. And again, it depends on the hybrid itself and length and where the CG is and all that. But in general, it's more like an iron. You want to hit down on it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
To really get the best performance, certainly out of the rough as well.
Mm, interesting. I received an email from a listener. We had posted on our website that you were going to be coming on the show, and so asked if anybody had any questions. We got some questions in, and this one is really a common question. This one comes from Phil Dominguez of Melbourne, Florida. He says he just recently started playing golf a few months ago, and he's still learning to swing the club properly. So he wants to know, at what point should he consider getting fitted for a custom set of clubs? Or even not a custom set, but getting fitted and maybe finding out that that's a conversation we need to have, is custom set versus, clubs from a major manufacturer. But let's talk about getting fitted first, when a person should really seriously consider getting fitted for clubs. Because right now he's playing a set that his father had and gave to him.
Yeah, I mean, really, a golfer of any level should be fit. And, certainly, the argument against that is, well, I want to get better and, so my fitting isn't really valid. Well, you should get fit at various stages throughout your, golfing improvement and make sure that you have the right product for you. And the level or the detail of the fitting per se may be what changes. You may not get as detailed of a fitting as a 25-30 handicap beginning golfer, say, in terms of level of detail, but certainly in terms of a product recommendation, that's where it's the most important. So, looking at our line in particular, we offer an iron for, we have all the way from our X prototype, which is a pure forged blade, all the way up to the FT hybrid, and certainly making sure that you have the right type of product to, again, get back to making the game fun. Right. If you give a golfer that's less skilled a product that isn't for them or it's less forgiving, the game will not be as enjoyable. So really finding the right type of product throughout is most important, and then drilling down to the actual fitting detail probably won't matter quite as much for the less skilled golfer, but things like golf club length and lie angle can certainly have an impact in comfort and success that golfer has.
I find it amazing that all the letters that I receive on a regular basis, people saying, once I get better, then I'll get fitted. And then, as if it's going to, once they get fitted and get the clubs from that, that things are going to stabilize for them. And yet what I found is when I got fitted for clubs and then got the proper set of clubs for me, my game improved dramatically after that.
Exactly, and that can work for golfers of all abilities. I mean, we get our tour pros in here that will come in and be a little off in terms of their equipment, and they'll see some drastic differences just from spending a little time at our performance center here or out on the road every week working with a TrackMan launch monitor or any of those tools that we have.
And you've mentioned a couple times Mickelson in this conversation. I'm curious, do you get the chance to work with Phil Mickelson when he comes in to talk about what he wants out of his clubs?
I don't as much as our R&D staff does.
I see. Um,
being the fact that he lives so close, I mean, he'll come in and practice a couple times a week when he's here in town at our test center. So he's certainly involved day to day with, you know, our R&D team and certainly the team down at the test center. But, you know, we've been around, and he's an integral part of a lot of things that we do.
Well, and didn't I read somewhere after a recent tournament, maybe it was even the U.S. Open, that he had been working with you guys on a, was it a hybrid?
It was a hybrid.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Can you talk about that?
So, yeah, he struggled a little bit with a few things with a hybrid and asked that we try a few different things, and really we made one. He came in and hit it the week, I think it was early in the week of the U.S. Open even, because he stayed here. And absolutely loved it. So it's something that we're, you know, it was really, there's one in existence, and he took it and loved it. So we do things like that all the time where we make, you know, one of something and see how it goes. We just happened to make this one in left-handed, and off he went with it. So
and
usually
to play it on a major tournament as well.
Yeah, so it goes to show you how big of a fan he was of it. To take it out, and he hit a lot of really good shots with it during the Open. So it's just a prototype at this point, and literally there is one in existence, and it's in his bag.
But when you get that kind of exposure on a golf club, I got to believe that the demand becomes amazing, that the emails and the letters and the phone calls that you must get about that product saying, when do I get one, must be voluminous.
Yeah, you know, we get a lot of attention for stuff like that, and it's good, and I think it helps to show where we are from a technology perspective, that we can make these products that are very different, and yeah, we do get them, and certainly, you know, but for us to commercialize it, we have to make sure that it's the right product, and there may be ways that we can make it better. You know, Phil likes to do certain things, and we have to make sure that it works for not only him and our other tour players, but, you know, if we're going to develop it and sell it, we want to make sure that it's something that's going to actually make golfers better.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Has there been more change in golf club development in the last 10 years than there has in the whole history of the sport? Do you think? I mean, it just seems like things are so radically different with the technology and the R&D that's been going on.
Yeah, I would have to say yes, just because of the amount of time, effort, and resources that goes against it today. Mm-hmm. And certainly the materials have some to do with that. You know, if I had Roger sitting here next to me, he would probably say that, you know, back when they were doing wooden woods and things like that, I would say that, you know, there was certainly technology and products that were differentiated because of it. But yeah, I would say over the last 10 years, it's been, you know, maybe the last 15 years, you know, you think about when titanium was starting being used when we first did Great Big Bertha and things like that. Those were major advancements in how golf clubs are made.
Absolutely. Interesting. Another question that came in from Richard Jackson of Chesapeake, Virginia. And he wanted to know, one of the instructors that we had on the show talked about tour quality draw with a 6-iron. And that's a draw that starts slightly right and curves to finish about 3 yards left of center. What he wants to know, what is the acceptable draw for a high handicapper? Why do you laugh when I bring up draw?
I just laugh because it's really about what you need to hit, right? We're all trying to do the same thing, which is hit the fairway off the tee, you know, hit it close to the hole, mm-hmm. in the hole, even, you know, on an iron shot into the green. So it's really about what you need to do to accomplish the shot that you're trying to hit. I don't know that I could put what an acceptable draw would look like, because it's all dependent on the person's eye. I mean, there's to say that everybody on tour draws the ball and hits a draw that ends up 3 yards left of the center line. To me, the best shot is the one that's in the center of the fairway, the geometric center of the fairway, or geometric, you know, center of where you're trying to hit it. No matter how it gets there. You know, you have players on tour that hit a big draw, and you have some that hit a big fade and some that hit it dead straight every time. So I don't know if there is a perfect draw per se, but certainly, you know, you can start to lose distance if you start to hit a big hook or a big slice because the amount of side spin that's on the shot.
Sure, sure. And plus the type of club that you're going to hit that's going to affect the distance and the draw, amount of draw on the ball.
Yeah, I mean, in our line, in woods in particular, we have draw versions of drivers and fairway woods and hybrids in the case of the FT line to help golfers that do hit a slice, you know, straighten out their ball flight. It may not necessarily mean that you're going to hit a draw. It just means that you're going to hit less of a slice.
Interesting. Very interesting.
And then there's things that we do, you know, internal weighting of golf clubs to enable that.
Right. Now, we have a lot of tech geeks. It's amazing to me how many, and it's got to be amazing to you, how many golf club geeks, tech geeks are out there. I mean, I understand it in the computer industry. And, you know, for golf, you could be a fan of golf architecture. You can be a fan of the tour. But there are people who are just fan of the equipment.
And absolutely. There's a lot of them out there.
There really is. And I've never been one. I mean, this has been an education for me. It's like, oh, get golf clubs. Okay, fine. You know, but I've been more in the recording stuff and computers. I like that stuff. But it never occurred to me. What are the kind of things that you get these type of people come to you, ask you questions like, why would you even ask that? I mean, you must get some pretty interesting questions sometimes.
Yeah, we do. And they're in all honesty, they're very minimal in terms of the grand scheme of things and how many truly are out there and get it and know why. But yeah, it is amazing how into it some people get. I mean, I remember, you know, back when I came to work at Callaway 12 years ago, and I thought, oh, I was kind of in that boat. You know, it's just a golf club. What could it be? And it's amazing. You know, when you literally have the gentleman that runs our golf ball R&D division, Steve Ogg, used to design airplane wings for Boeing. And to think about that transition and what's at stake, right? I mean, if you're designing airplane wings, people's lives are at stake. You know, it's just a golf ball flying through the air. But that's the attention to detail that he takes into designing, you know, the aerodynamic patterns of our golf balls every day.
Wow.
So it is amazing when.
And that's
even
golf
today,
balls. He's designing golf balls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, because of flight. Okay. There's the transition.
Yeah. So, I mean, the two people that really, two of the first people in our golf ball R&D department were former Boeing employees.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. So what's happening with technology now in irons and wedges? I was looking through the website. I saw some interesting things as far as what's going on with face technology.
Yeah, so we have variable face technology in the majority of our irons. And really what that enables us to do, and as we've worked with, you know, our suppliers getting better and the products we're actually able to produce, of getting more of the weight in the places where we need it, to help us achieve the best center of gravity and the ideal spot for golfers to hit the ball better more often. You know, in the past, when you had a single thickness and all that, it doesn't help with getting the weight in the position that you want it. So really, it's been a combination of us being able to do more of the things that we know how to do that we weren't able to make in the past that we are now, and also coming up with what those things are to make the products better. You know, we want to be able to, just like in the drivers where we've, you know, made it so that people can not lose as much distance on a bad shot or not hit it as far off a line on a bad shot. You know, that's a goal throughout our product line. And certainly we do it more or less depending on the amount of skill that a golfer has. So you won't see as much forgiveness built into an X forged iron as you will into an FT hybrid, for example, and the X22 is going to fall kind of in the middle there.
Well,
but then you also have material stories like what we have in our FT irons, which have an outer, it's a multi-material iron, so the outer cradle, as we call it, of the iron, is 80% of the weight of that iron is in that outer perimeter of the golf club. That helps to make it just extremely forgiving, but it doesn't look as untraditional as some of the more game improvement irons do.
And the look is so important. When you put out a product, you can come up with something incredibly innovative and could change the industry. But if it doesn't look good, it's not going to work, right?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I mean, that was one of our initial struggles with the FTI driver that we talked about earlier is, you know, some people just could not get used to that look. And we went through many revisions of what that look was and having everyday golfers come in and you know, look at 10 to 15 different versions of that golf club and, you know, really say which one looks the best and the most traditional in an untraditional kind of sense.
Mm. Quite enlightening. So much information here. I'm just like, are you at a point where between face technology, Hosel technology, weight distribution, you're like, okay, we're out of innovation. We're done. This is as far as we can go. Are you almost there?
No. We're not. And I mean, some of the things that, you know, again, that we, I hear part of it from dealing with the R&D teams every day, but you know, they sit over there in their world, and you walk over and some of the things you hear and even the ideas that we all throw around together in brainstorming sessions even are unbelievable. And to hear, yeah, we could do that. And you just, you know, it blows your mind. And again, it's, you know, it's a fine balance between what's reasonable from a physics standpoint and what you can actually do. And that's where a lot of the challenges come in. And we have a lot of great ideas that we, you know, maybe just don't know even how to make yet. So there's stuff that you won't even see from us for, you know, 5 years that's being worked on in R&D. So it's exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. Boy, I'd love to come down and watch you guys at work. I'd love to see what goes on down there.
It is amazing.
Can I bring the listeners with me?
Well, maybe someday.
Okay, maybe someday.
We can't show you everything, though.
No, yeah. Oh, we can come, but we can't bring our cameras with us. Jason Finley is the product manager for Irons and Wedges at Callaway Golf. I really appreciate your time. Thanks so much for enlightening us. This is really fascinating stuff. Thanks so much.
No problem. Thanks for the time, and we hope everybody goes out and plays some Callaway clubs so they can get better.
Well, you could do what I did and rent a set of Callaway's X22s and get your first hole in one.
That's exactly right. We hear stories like that every day.
Amazing. Amazing. Thanks, Jason.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Okay, so how cool would it be to do a Golf Smarter adventure to San Diego, California that includes a behind-the-scenes tour of the Callaway Performance Center? Would you come to that one? I'm hoping to create more opportunities for us to travel the world and play golf together. And if you have any suggestions or ideas of places that you'd come to, or if you know of a great golf travel agency anywhere in the world that may want to partner with us on a future adventure, please send me a note by clicking on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com. I'm serious about this one. I don't like this one-way communication. I want to meet you guys. I want to play golf with you. I want to go all over the world and play golf. And the more that our community can get together and do it, the more fun we'll have. Now, speaking of getting together, I've got more news about our event on October 12th, the day after the President's Cup at Harding Park. As I told you, we're playing at Peacock Gap in Marin County, just north of San Francisco, and I hope that you and your friends sign up early enough to secure a spot on our playing roster. It is a limited roster. Our special guest for the event is Jesse Ortiz of Bobby Jones Golf.
Hi, this is Jesse Ortiz with the Bobby Jones Golf Company, and I'm inviting you to sign up at golfsmarter.com for a chance to play with me at Peacock Gap on Monday, October 12th, which is Columbus Day, the day after the President's Cup, which this year is at Harding Park. We're going to have a barbecue. There's going to be product demonstrations there. We're going to have our demo tent. You'll be able to hit clubs, wedges, hybrids, the whole line of Bobby Jones clubs. And it looks like it's going to be a great time. The weather, perfect that time of year in the San Francisco Bay Area in October. So sign up at golfsmarter.com, space is limited. I'm looking forward to playing golf with three lucky winners.
And not only will you have the chance to be in Jesse's foursome, but I've just secured Adam Eisner, the head teaching professional at Peacock Gap, to also join us to play that day. That means that three more listeners will win the chance to be in Adam's foursome. And remember, that we're not having a tournament. This is just a fun round of golf. So if you're selected to play in Adam's foursome, pressure's off. And that means that you can get some free instruction on the course during your round. Cool. Maybe two listeners, so I'll play with Adam too. I'm also working on some prizes to give away after the barbecue and the recording session. So sign up early so you don't miss out. Again, the date is Columbus Day, October 12th at Peacock Gap Country Club in Marin County, California. I hope to see you there. Because I'm going to be traveling, I've extended the deadline for you to win a Tour Tempo Micro Player till September 11th, and then we'll announce the winner on September 15th. Just click on the contest tab at golfsmarter.com to enter. But in the meantime, we still have some of our Tour Tempo Micro Players available at our Golfers Mart. Many of you have taken advantage of this great deal, and we have a limited amount to sell, so get yours now. The units sell everywhere for $99.95, but Golf Smarter listeners can take advantage of this opportunity that John Novosel so generously provided to us for only $84.95. Now, I can only talk about this on the show. I can't put it on the website because major retailers will get awfully pissed off. So it's $84.95 plus shipping, and members get an additional $15 off and pay only $69.95 plus shipping. That's $30 off the normal price. Now, whomever you order this from, if you decide to buy this somewhere else, that's fine. But you're not going to get the price, but you will have to pay for shipping. And we can ship it anywhere in the world. You just won't find a better price, especially if you're a member. But to get the discount, you have to put in a discount code at golfsmarter.com. And I can't publish that code. So again, the code is TTMP001. Think of it, Tour Tempo Micro Player 001. TTMP001. Enter it when you check out from the Golfers Mart. Please join Golf Smarter for members only and take advantage of the increasing discounts and opportunities that membership provides. I'm going to close today with a quote that I heard at a memorial service for an old friend yesterday. So, David, this one is for you. If I drive the ball to the left, it's a hook. If I hit my ball to the right, it's a slice. But when I drive the ball up the middle, it's a miracle. Next week, the return of Dr. Michael Lardon to talk about the mental game and specifically the work he did with David Duval to get him a second-place finish at the 2009 U.S. Open. If you have any questions, comments, requests, or quotes, please click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.